Hi there, this is Darian Smith. I am the author of the Agents of Kelannon series and the Psychology Workbook for Writers, among a few other things. So I have some questions here to answer, so I'll launch into those. First up, why do you write? Is it for money or fame or something else entirely? I can tell you it's definitely not for fame. I am quite the introvert, so I definitely would not be up for paparazzi chasing me down the street or anything bizarre like that. Money's always lovely, don't get me wrong. I quite enjoy having some financial freedom, but neither of those are why I write. It's something that I've always done. It's something that's just kind of an intrinsic part of me. To be honest, I was always the kid at school when we got creative writing assignments who handed in, stories that were way longer than everybody else's. And I've always had that kind of imaginative bent to my mind where I've made up stories. So it was a logical progression then to write them down and make them available to people. I'm someone who enjoys them, and I'm really thrilled to see when other people enjoy them as well. So that's very satisfying for me. What are you currently working on? So I'm currently working on a few different things. I'm working on a non-fiction book for writers. It's going to be world building techniques, and that's going to dovetail, I'm hoping, quite nicely with my existing book, which is the Psychology Workbook for Writers. I'm also working on a young adult urban fantasy novel, which is set here in New Zealand, which should be quite fun. And of course, the fourth book in my Agents of Kelannon series. What keeps you writing when it seems that nothing is going right and the going gets rough? For me, writing is one of the things that does keep me going when the going gets rough, to be honest. It's something that has pulled me through some dark times in my life. And I find writing to be quite useful for processing emotions and understanding what's going on in my life. So yeah, for me, it's been very helpful in that sense, quite therapeutic in a lot of ways. That said, it can be a love-hate relationship at times, and there are certainly times when I find it more difficult to write. And I'm not a fast writer by any stretch of the imagination, so I think it's probably just having that tenacity of just kind of going, okay, I'm keeping going, I'm not giving up. And the reality is, I don't think I ever would give up. I don't think I necessarily ever could give up because it's just something that is an intrinsic part of me, really, and I do enjoy it. What would you tell an aspiring writer to focus on? The thing that I always like to say to writers and everybody really is that there's this weird concept around writing and all sorts of artistic endeavors that they're just some kind of magical innate talent that people are naturally born with. To be fair, there is an element of talent in there, but it's a skill. It's a skill like any other. Nobody picks up a tennis racket and immediately wins Wimbledon that first time. They have to practice, they have to hone their skills and develop what they do. And writing's exactly the same. So it's just a matter of keeping going. Learn what you can from other writers and people who have had more experience than you, and practice. Practice makes perfect. There's a reason they say that. It's not just a cliche, it's the truth. The more we write, the better we get, and the more chance you have of creating something that is really, really special. Setting can sit alongside the other aspects of a story, and feed into them, like character and plot, for example, in ways that most readers won't actually see or realize that it's there doing that, but they will feel it as they experience the story. To kind of explain that a little bit more, setting will convey information in a kind of subliminal way. For example, if your setting is a rundown tenement complex or an inner city ghetto versus a suburban street of brick and tile houses, or versus a large manor overlooking a polo field, each of those settings gives you a different set of information about the characters that you're likely to meet in that setting and in that story, and the kinds of difficulties that those characters are likely to encounter during the story. So, setting gives you information about the story itself, as well as the characters that are in that story. And certain settings will lend themselves to certain genres. So, If the setting is a small town, a reader might expect that this is going to be a cozy mystery, perhaps, or it might be a family-friendly romance, or it could be banjo playing inbred hillbilly horror. It all comes down to how you describe that particular small town. But they're not going to expect, say, Sex in the City with Sarah Jessica Parker, because that's a story that requires a setting like New York. So the setting has to match the type of story that you're telling. Therefore, what kind of setting that story best sits in. And setting can be a really good way to smuggle information to a reader without them kind of realizing it, or to enhance the information that they have. For example, if the character is feeling miserable and introspective, you can change the setting to a place that enhances that. You can do something as simple as the weather is gloomy and raining. And that lets you know how they're feeling on the inside by showing you the setting and surroundings of the outside. So a scene, for example, might call for tension and anxiety. So you might change the setting so that it's at night in the darkness to increase those feelings. These are really simple examples, but it's worth taking the time to consider how your setting can contribute to this scene that you're writing. In different ways and enhance the emotional impact of what you're trying to get across. And preferably do it in a way that is unique to your particular characters and your story. One example that's a little bit more original than having it rain when people are depressed. So say if a character is particularly missing his father who has died. Some years ago, there's something that happens that particularly makes him realize that, this would have been a great time to talk to his dad. Maybe he goes to the place where his father used to work for his whole life. And when he gets there, discovers that this place that his father poured his whole life into is now run down or demolished even. So this setting will emphasize the hole that is in the character's life that his father once filled. Again, it's taking that inner stuff and making it an outer thing to represent that, and use setting to do that. So there's all kinds of ways to play with that, and I think it's really important to do that. And setting then becomes metaphor for so many different things. It can also be a kind of shorthand for lots of aspects of the story, as we talked about, genre, character, emotion, atmosphere. So the trouble, though, with using setting shorthand is that it can also be a trap. So in fantasy, for example, readers expect the setting to be some version of medieval. Often that's the shortcut for fantasy, maybe with elves and dwarves, maybe not. There's definitely going to be castles and swords, right? So it's a shortcut for getting into the story, into the genre, but it's also a bit kind of cliche and it's a little bit boring. So even if you use this as a starting point, you're going to want to put your own spin on it. So your fantasy world isn't actually medieval England. So you want to spend some time thinking about what are the points of difference in your particular world. So stepping away from fantasy for a moment, a really good recent example where there's a setting shorthand that's then put its own twist on it, the Bridgerton series, which a lot of people have been watching of late on Netflix, that's Regency England, but made more diverse and obviously more modern in a lot of ways. So it's an alternate reality kind of Regency England. There's ways that you can do that and think about, how much of the established shorthand do you want to stick to in your story, the setting, and how much do you want to put your own twist on that? For example, in my Agents of Kelynon series, which is a fantasy series, but is also a little bit more modern in terms of some of the attitudes and understanding, I guess, and even speech patterns of the characters. There's an established church in this world, but the religion it represents has no issues with things like sexuality. So that's a point of difference for a lot of fantasy because where that shorthand of fantasy is drawing on a medieval church from the real world, which did have issues with sexuality, those attitudes have often made it into fantasy worlds because of leaning into that shorthand. Me personally, I didn't want to include that in my fantasy world, so that's changed. So these changes to your world and the pre-programmed shortcuts will then filter through the setting physically, but also culturally and behaviorally as well. So it's really important to think of the knock-on effects of the things that you are making part of your setting that are unique to your world or your story. This can give you a huge range of interesting details to make your world original. Again, if I'm drawing on my Agents of Kalanon series, one of the characters in Kalanon's Rising, Ula, comes from a race of people who have the power to reanimate the dead. It's a power that makes them feared and respected by other countries, because of course, who would be dumb enough to start a war with someone who can animate your fallen soldiers and add them to your army? So that ability that they have has this political ramification in the world on a wider scale, but also in a more individual way, it changes how they do certain things. So when you first see her, she's using one of these reanimated zombie creatures to help with beekeeping. Because why wouldn't she? A zombie can't feel it if a bee stings her, so it makes perfect sense to use that. This kind of knock-on effect from the setting, which is a world in which magic and reanimation of bodies is real, becomes a more specific, interesting detail about that particular part of the setting, and then it gives you information about this character and how pragmatic she is. So there's a lot I could talk about in terms of setting, and I haven't even touched on things like landscape and how that would have fit influence society and all that sort of thing. So I could be here all day. But what I would love to touch on is a concept that was taught to me as part of my counselling training. So I come from a background in counselling and family therapy, and I use a lot of those concepts to help me in my writing. And one of those is the idea of a biopsychosocial system, which is a bit of a mouthful, and it's basically kind of a fancy way of saying no man is an island. So we're all part of bigger things, biologically, socially, physically. We're part of family groups, we're part of cultural groups, we're part of religious groups, ethnic groups, our environment, and indeed the world. So all of those things influence us, and we have influence on them. So I like to think about setting in those terms as well. Look at all those different groups and how they influence the character, and the character influences those. And that means really that the characters in the story are part of the setting, which gets very meta, I suppose. I'm going to be talking a lot more about this stuff in an upcoming book about world building, which is for writers. I talk a little bit about some of this stuff in my existing book, which is the Psychology Workbook for Writers. Feel free to look at my website, which is www.darian-smith.com, and signed up for my newsletter so you'll know when the next one's coming out. And in the meantime, thank you so much for listening, and enjoy the day and keep on writing. Thank you.